Well, I hate to disappoint you, and I know, I just hope that everybody doesn't just get up and leave when I say this, because I know they're going to be so disappointed that they're just going to say, I can't take it anymore, and they're just going to leave. I'm actually not planning to preach to you tonight. Yeah. See, Daniel's trying to make up for it now with some of the stuff he said before. All right. But anyways, well, first, before we get to what I just hoping to talk to you guys tonight, and I'm wanting to share with you some things about my life and some things that I've seen and witnessed and been through that will hopefully be an encouragement to you. But before we do that, there's kind of an elephant in the room that we need to talk about and that we need to address. And no, the elephant's not me. I want to thank Metropolitan Baptist Church for the fun afternoon that we had together of paintballing. I want to thank them for including me. I especially want to thank Brother Earl. Because if it wasn't for Brother Earl's selfless exclusion of himself. So he said, you know what, brother? I'm just going to step back. I want you to be able to enjoy this time with these kids. You know, Brother Earl's just such a giver.
Yeah. Wisdom comes with age, brother.
I can't help it. I've got to. So when does that start? Well, let me just put it to you this way, brother. I appreciate you letting me go in your place. And I can truly say this, playing paintball with all of you has definitely left a mark on my life that I'm going to remember.
I hear you, brother.
And on my head, too.
You see, where? I don't know how, from my sleeves down and from my neck up, we're okay. Thank the Lord for face guards. But pretty much everywhere else. I will say this, my kids have made some loyal friends since they've been here.
Yep.
I was doing okay until the very last round when they said, okay, we're just going to do kind of a free-for-all until everybody runs out of ammo. My dear brother serving our country in the Marines.
Amen.
Hold on, you haven't heard the rest. So he comes up to everybody, Brother Chris. All right, we're just going to head right down the middle. We're just going to charge right at him. We get shot a few times, that's okay, but we're going to get to him and we're going to start painting him. And everybody looked at him and said, you go ahead, buddy, you do that. That's just fine. And so I'm back here, I'm saying, they're leaving. Our brother that's serving our country in the Marines, and they're just leaving him, hanging him out to dry. I said, you know what? Fine, you bunch of wimps. I said, you know what, brother? I'm with you. As soon as they blow that whistle, we're going to take off running as fast as we can, and I'm behind you. Trust me, I'm going to be way behind you. Because there's not a whole lot of as fast as I can left in me. But we're going to go. So we do. But the next thing I know, I start feeling stuff hitting me in the back. And I thought, man, they're just all around me. They moved quick. I'm just dealing with Chris right now. Trust me, there's a lot to go around here. Come to find out, we're turning all of our weapons in. And he goes, oh, yeah, I just felt like shooting you, so I shot you a few times.
I didn't know that happened.
If there's anybody you should be able to trust, it's one of our military men. And his idea is, yeah, let's charge right at the middle so I can stop and have a close target. Brother, hurt me, man. Literally. I'm not even going to start on my wife. I don't even know if I'm ready to talk about or to her yet. But as far as her little claim that she hit me in the ankle. At another point in this game, I feel a quick do-do-do-do right in the middle of my back. Okay, and when that happens, I'm not saying, I wonder where I should look to find out how that happened. No, not anywhere over there. If something hits you directly in the back, what do you do? And what do I see? My wife. But she didn't shoot me in the back. Those of y'all that remember, this is going to be like the Kennedy videos and stuff like that. I had fun with all of you. And apparently, all of you had fun with me. I can't decide how to describe it. Some of y'all will know what I'm talking about with some of this, and some of you won't. First of all, of those of you that didn't go today, have any of you ever been shot with a paintball?
It hurts.
Have any of you noticed that a paintball leaves a very distinct type of wound on you? Right? Not really a wound, but it patterns your skin in a very unique way. Right? And so I'm looking all over my body. And I can't decide if it looks like I have leprosy or the worst case of ringworm that the world has ever seen. And I think it looks like I've got about 75 ringworms all at the same time.
Amen, brother.
I do appreciate, though, how the longer it goes, we're turning in our guns, and it wasn't just Brother Chris. Brother Chris was just man enough to step up and admit it. And then I start hearing, oh yeah, I shot you too. Oh yeah, I got you a couple of times that last round. Oh yeah, I saw you standing there, so I thought I'd take a couple of shots. And let me explain. At the beginning of this entire event, they split us into two teams. And every one of these confessions was from my own team. So everybody's like, hey, let's go use all our ammunition. And evidently, it was all on me. I made a determination, though. The reason it was so bad is I told my two kids. Okay, they said that we can, even if we get hit, we can keep coming. And so I looked at my two children and I said, I'm coming. Oh, it didn't suit you once because you said, hey, all of my friends I made this week, make a nice wall right here. And I'm going to kind of skyhook some shots over the top there. And they hide in this building. And every time I peek around the building, there's like six teenagers waiting on me. And my kids are just kind of in the back going. I will admit, Silas wasn't using the kids as a wall. He was just hiding in the corner waiting for me. So needless to say, I still did not get to shoot my kids. As a parent, you're disappointed sometimes. You know what I mean?
Why didn't you just run in there?
Brother, I've been shot about 47 times. Where do you think all those shots happened? Because I did run in there. Do the words the Alamo mean anything to you? Why didn't you just run in there? Why didn't you just run in there? He's running the other way. I know it. By the way, okay, since Brother Daniel decided he wants to be a part of this. Not this Daniel, this Daniel. Brother Daniel and all of his muscles and his athleticism. I think I saw him get hit twice. I'm out. I'm done. I got paint on my sneakers. I'm done. Yeah, well, at least I earned mine, buddy. And then the final blow. Talk about feeling appreciated as a guest speaker. Now, the final blow as I get home and some of our dear little ones that were younger and decided to sit out some of them, which was very wise. Some of our sweet, and some of those sweet little girls, too, that decided they didn't want to shoot. And they said, you know what? I really wish I wanted would have played some more. And, you know, I fell for it. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, why didn't you come out there? He says, well, I just wish I would have had a chance to shoot you too. Oh, There's nothing like feeling appreciated and loved. But I will say this, in spite of it all, I still had a wonderful time. And as soon as everything heals, I'll forgive you. Okay, all joking aside though, that gives you kind of the gist of our paintball activities. If y'all ever have as a church a paintball activity, stay away from this bunch. Especially if they split you into teams. Because that doesn't mean anything to them. Either that or get yourself about 7 paintball guns and have those things stored all around you. That way you can go both directions. But anyways, we kind of finished up Joshua this morning. Yep, see, that's the first time I've done that this week too. Hey, forgive me if I've got a little bit of heat stroke and brain damage this evening, okay? It was finished up learning about Joseph's life this morning. But we're still going to talk about him a little bit. But this evening I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. And before we even read scripture or go any further, we've had a good time this evening already, and we've laughed and we joked with one another, except for my wife. I'm completely serious about what I said about her. No, I'm just kidding. But what we're going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless our evening, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much for all that you've done, the souls that you've saved, the wonderful time we've had together, and the Lord, the relationships that we've been able to establish with one another. And Lord, we thank you that you've given a relationship that we can have with you. Lord, I pray that you would help these to grow. I pray that you would help them to always, Lord, seek to be closer to you and to be more acquainted with you, that their relationship would grow, that their spiritual strength would increase, Lord, and that we would see your miracles done in each and every one of these lives. Lord, and I ask for each and every one of us who are adults as well. This is going to be very easy for us to sit here this week and just say this is all about the kids. Lord, help every adult to allow the Word of God to speak to them tonight. And God, we ask for your cleansing upon my life, Lord. Forgive me and cleanse me and wash me of any sin and wickedness whatsoever, Lord, that is in my life, that there would be nothing in me that would quench your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit might be able to take complete control of everything that is said and done, that we might hear from you, Lord, and that your will might be done in us. And we just praise you and thank you for it. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. I would be very sorely mistaken if I didn't take an opportunity as well to give some thanks where needed. Because I have thoroughly enjoyed being here with you guys this week. I've enjoyed getting to preach to you. I've enjoyed getting to know you. I've enjoyed conversations with you and hanging out with most of you. Some of you, it's been a little bit more of a chore. But no, I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know all of you and getting to spend time with you. It's been a pleasure. And I want to thank Metropolitan Baptist Church and Pastor Turner. It's kind of weird calling my father-in-law Pastor Turner. I'm always used to just calling him Jim, but he's your pastor. And I want to thank Pastor Turner because he's the one who's held accountable for this. So I can say whatever I want tonight. Don't really matter. No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate y'all inviting me. Appreciate y'all letting me come. Appreciate your pastor and his wife putting us up for the week in their home and letting us stay there. And I did my very best not to mess anything up, Miss Marcia. And so I tried to be housebroken for the week. I want to take an opportunity as well to give a very special thanks to Brother Daniel and Miss Michelle for all the tremendous amounts of work that they have put into this week. And so I want to thank them. I want to thank them for the opportunity to get to know them. And I would consider them acquaintances, probably, is about it. But no, I'm just kidding. And I've enjoyed getting to know you, and I would consider you both my friends now. That makes two that I have now, so I appreciate y'all. I want to give a very special thank you to all of you that have helped. All of the helpers. Not just Brother Earl and his wife, but every single one of you that have helped. I want to give a very special thank you to all of you that helped in the kitchen.
Amen.
And all of you that did all of the work for the meals and putting all of that out. I want to thank Brother Allen and his family for running the games and for, you know, taking control of that and getting the kids excited, motivating, but also finding ways to put the Word of God even in your games and things like that. And I want to thank all of you teenagers as well. I want to thank you guys for being here. And I want to thank you for listening. And I want to thank you for giving me the honor of getting to know you and speaking to you.
Amen.
If I left anyone out, I am incredibly sorry. And I will just know in my heart that I mean you too, all right? There's so many that went into this and so much work that went into it. And I greatly, greatly appreciate all that has been done. I think it's been a wonderful week.
Yeah.
And it's just like I tell my folks about my preaching. I've had a good time, even if you haven't. Amen?
Right.
So I've enjoyed it. But tonight I wanted to do something a little different. We've done a lot of preaching, done a lot of teaching and things like that. But I wanted to share with you a little bit about myself. And that way say, trust me, we know enough about you this whole week. We've got it. You can move just straight on from this. But no, you'll understand why here in a moment. I am not one of those people that can stand up here before you and talk about the hardships and the wickedness and the hard life that God has saved me out of. I'm not somebody that's been in you know, a broken home or involved in any kind of major misfortune or anything like that. God has been more good to me in my life than I can possibly describe. And I have had the glorious privilege of being raised by very godly parents. Some of y'all met them yesterday. And they instilled in me from a very, very young, well, from the entirety of my life. Sometimes through the Word, sometimes through just their example, sometimes through teaching, sometimes right smack dab along my backside, but one way or another, they taught me the Word of God, and they taught me to love the Lord, and they taught me about the things of God. My dad is also a pastor. And so I'll be honest, I'm not one that comes from a rough background. I'm not one that has been through a lot of horrible things growing up like maybe some of you have experienced. I don't have that experience in my life. I have known pretty much this the entirety of my life. What do you mean by this? Church and pretty much everything that is involved in church. My dad's been a pastor my whole life. I grew up in it. I grew up around it. I was saved at a very young age. Some of y'all saw my dad sitting back there. Y'all remember the big ugly guy in the back, right? Hey, brother, this is what I always say about that. I don't deny that I look like my dad at all. But you remember this. I can't control who God made to be my parents. So what I wanted to talk about miracles of God, God has enabled me to take all of that that my dad is and enabled me to make it look good, okay? I've heard that one before, brother, so I've always got that one in the back pocket. I'm ready. Throw me another one. No, I love my parents.
Amen.
And I cannot express how grateful I am for what they did in my life. Saved at a very young age. I remember the night. I remember, I don't remember exactly what age it was. It's funny, or the exact date, but I remember the night like it was nothing.
Yeah.
My dad was preaching, and to kind of get the visual here, he always wanted us sitting on the front row or second row, very close to the front. We were meeting in a very small building at the time. So my dad, all 6'5 plus of him, and big and scary, and He's not one of those cool, calm, and collected kind of preachers either. And so my dad preached on hell. And I was sitting right in the front row. So basically the whole night, I'm looking like this, like my while my dad is preaching on hell, and it felt like he was preaching right to me. I realized I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where I was going. I'm trying to sum this part up. That night, I went into my parents' bedroom, and I said, I need to be saved.
Amen.
And they said, let's do it. And right there in my parents' bed, they led me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But the part I want to get to you and talk to you about in my life. We've been learning about Joseph. We've been learning about all these things that happened in his life. And we've been seeing all the things that God did. But I want to emphasize to you again, the reason that Joseph was able to accomplish so many magnificent and miraculous things was not because there was something unbelievably talented and amazing about Joseph. The reason Joseph was so used by God is because Joseph followed God.
Amen.
Because Joseph obeyed God. Because Joseph was willing to do what God asked him to do.
Yeah.
I struggled with that. I remember growing up in church camps my whole life. I met my wife at church camp. I was introduced to the entire Turner family at church camp. Known my wife since we were 9 years old. So I shouldn't be surprised that she shot me in the back. We'll never let that go. But anyways, one of these years at camp when I was 13 years old, I felt the Lord grab a hold of my heart. And I knew that God was telling me, I've got a plan for you to do something. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I've got a plan for you. I want you to serve me. I want to use you. Are you willing? And so I made a decision. In your Christian life, there's certain kinds of decisions that you make, kind of stepping stones in your Christian life. You accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You follow Him with scriptural baptism. I'll let Brother Daniel and Brother Jim and these men and Brother Earl, I'll let these men teach you about baptism, and Miss Michelle for some of you ladies and things like that. But then after that, there's something called dedicating your life to the Lord, surrendering to His will. I went forward at church camp and I said, God, anything you want to do with my life, you tell me and I'll do it.
Amen.
And I did that at 13 years old. But let me tell you what I really meant. I said, God, anything you want me to do in my life, anything you want me to do, anywhere you want me to go, I'll do it. Except preaching. Because you know why? I didn't like preaching. I grew up listening to great preachers. My dad's a great preacher. Brother Jim has heard him preach I don't know how many times. And I didn't dislike preaching, but I didn't like it either. And I have the same thoughts that you guys might be having right now. How long can this guy go on without stopping for breath? And I've had those times when sitting in church, I thought, yep, Lord, I'm ready because this is what's going to kill me. This is what's going to take me home, sitting here listening to this guy talk for the rest of my life. See, some of y'all are laughing. I know what you're going through. I know how it feels. I did not like preaching at all. I said, God, I'll do anything. I had all kinds of plans for my life. The first major dream that I had in my life when I was about 9 years old, I started playing basketball. And you talk about instant obsession. I love the game of basketball. If you don't like basketball, that's why we've been having invitations every night for you to get right with the Lord. Amen. I love basketball. So my first dream, I'm going to go to North Carolina on the basketball scholarship, and then I'm going to go play for the Chicago Bulls in the NBA. I grew up in the 90s. I was a fan of the Chicago Bulls. I know that y'all are shocked that I didn't end up going to the NBA. It's unreal. I know that you don't actually think that, man. You know, he said, I had that nailed from the moment I saw you. That guy's never done anything athletic. After that, I fell in love with music. I fell in love specifically with singing because I have zero instrument playing ability. I don't have the patience for learning them. So I've always enjoyed singing. Lord, maybe you want me to be a singer. Maybe you want me to be a song director in a church. Lord, I'll be a singer. There's a man that came into my life as a youth director. And his name was Joey Bacon. And one time we were having a youth service. And he said, hey, why don't you try preaching? I said, because no. He said, no, just give it a try. I said, oh, okay, no. And went on a little bit later, and then he'd come back and say, hey man, I want you to try preaching. I said, ah, en español, no. That's about the only word I know in Spanish. And he kept coming back to me, say, man, I really think you can do this, and I really think it would be special, and I think it would be good. Why don't you try preaching? I'm like, what's the hold up here? No. I don't want to preach. I don't like preaching. I want nothing to do with preaching. I don't want to be anywhere near anybody that does like preaching. It's bad enough that I have to sit here and talk to you about preaching. I want no part of preaching. Long story short, he kept on me, and he kept going, and he kept going, and he kept going. And at this point is when I want to share with you this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. While I love them all, and I have countless numbers of verses that I love and that I depend on, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 is my favorite verse in the entirety of God's Word. And tonight I want to talk to you about why. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I bet you can guess what finally happened. Brother Joey would not stop bothering me. By the way, I have his number if you want to call him. Say, if you hadn't have made him preach, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have had to go through this week. I would love to do that to Brother Joey. So if you want his number, I got it. Finally, I said, look, if you will stop asking me, if you will leave me alone, I'll say something. I've always had that ability not to brag, because more times than not, it has gotten me in trouble. I've never been nervous in front of people, so I could get up and talk for 5 or 10 minutes about anything. Infuriates my wife when we took speech together in college, because my wife does not like being in front of people. But if you're in speech, you got to give speeches. And so my wife's studying, and my wife's making note cards, and my wife's making all this organization. Our final was a speech. And I mean, she had note cards, and she was prepared, and she had research. And we had to give a 10-minute speech, I think it was. And so I come strolling into class. My clothes are all wrinkled. Everything's, needless to say, you could tell I hadn't been awake long. And I plop myself down in that class for a final, and she goes, aren't you nervous? And I'm like, for what? She goes, the finals today. Oh, yeah. She says, what are you going to do? I don't know. She gets up there and she's poor thing. She's nervous and she gets through her speech. I think she got like a B or a C or something like that on it. I don't remember what it was. And so she sits back down. She goes, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm wearing a tie. I'll talk about tie and tie knots. We'll figure that out. So I got up there, and for about 5 or 10 minutes, I just talked about the different kind of knots you can tie with a tie. Got down, A+, best rate I ever got. And my wife looked at that and just said, are you kidding me? And I'm like, I guess so. And that's how I made it through speech. And I was really, because it doesn't make me, and I don't mean that to brag. And so I just thought, you know what, I'm going to get up there and I'll talk about Jesus and I'll say a Bible verse or something. But this is what I want you guys to understand. This is what happened. And this is why I'm thankful for the ministry. And this is why this moment changed my life. And it actually happened before I even got up to the pulpit. I started reading and I started studying because I didn't want it to sound like an idiot up there, so I wanted to have some information. I preached on 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I said, why we should read the Bible. I was like, if I can't talk for 10 minutes about why we should read the Bible, I just need to go live in a hole somewhere. But then I started studying, and I started finding out all of these new things that I'd never known before about the Word of God. And I started reading these verses that I've read before and learning something completely new and different. And then all of a sudden, the time comes, and I stand up there behind the pulpit, and I think, I'm going to get up there for about 5 minutes and get down and I'll be done. And I experienced something that's called the Holy Spirit of God. And He took a hold of that message. And for the first time in my life, I experienced God working through me. And let me tell you something right here and right now. Because believe me when I tell you that the vast majority of Christians out there today have never put themselves in position to need God enough to realize what it's like for the Holy Spirit of God to take complete control of them and do things with them that they never thought possible. And on that Sunday night, in that pulpit, I fell in love with the preaching of the Word of God. Not because I like standing up and yelling at people. I don't hate it. But what if you don't understand anything else from me, guys? You'll never experience anything else in your life like that moment when you allow the Holy Spirit of God to literally grab a hold of you and use you in ways that you didn't think were possible. We're not talking about things that you think you can do. We're not talking about the things that you're comfortable doing. Anybody can do that. Any chump can get up and do something that they already know how to do. But that's not the way the Holy Spirit works. That's not the way God challenges people. At some point in your Christian relationship with God, He's going to come up to you and He's going to say, "I want you to do this." And you're going to look at that thing and you're going to say, "Not me." And you're going to say, "Lord, I don't know what you're talking about and I don't know who you're talking to, but you don't want me to do that? I'm not going to do that. I can't do that. That's not my thing. That's not my area. I'm not really comfortable in that kind." This is the kind of wonderfully intelligent things that pastors hear. "I'm not really comfortable in that area of ministry." Let me tell you a few stories about being comfortable in the use of God. Ever heard of David and Goliath? Goliath was nearly 10 feet tall. He was coming against the armies of Israel, and he was mocking every single one of them, and everybody was scared of him and wouldn't go out there. Let me ask you something. If you come up against a really big dude and you had a choice between somebody else really big and a little bitty kid, which one are you going to pick to go fight him? You're going to pick the other big guy. But David comes up in the midst of all of those warriors of God, in the midst of all of the mighty men. It's said that King Saul, who was the king at that time, the Bible says that he was head and shoulders above all the other men. So some people say that puts him in the neighborhood of 7 feet tall. He was a big guy. He's not going out there. And a small boy goes out and says, "You guys are a bunch of chickens." And kind of like I was trying to do with Brother Chris this morning or this afternoon, he said, "I'll go out there." Turned out better for him, though, than it did for me. And David went out there, and you picture a 10-foot giant against a little boy. And the little boy said, "Look, all of your armor and stuff is shiny, but I come in the power of the Lord God Almighty." Amen. And that little child killed that giant.
Yeah, he did.
That's not who you would pick, but that's who God picked. And He said, "God, if you're asking me, that means you're able to do it in me. I'm going to go do it." Other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, Who do you think that God chose to be one of the greatest spreaders of the gospel, one of the greatest preachers, and one of the greatest missionaries that the world has ever seen? You've heard of him. His name was Paul. What was Paul's job before his name was Paul? His name was Saul, and his entire purpose in life was to stop the spread of Christianity. His entire purpose in life was to hunt, arrest, persecute, and even kill, if necessary, any Christian that wouldn't stop preaching the Word of God. And that's who God chose to be one of His greatest preachers in the history of the Word of God. God doesn't call people that are already able. What God wants from people is, are you willing to try? And if we will let God use us, you're going to see God do things in your life that you never, ever thought were possible. You know why I love the ministry? Because I make so much money and because the pay's so good. I'm loaded. Because it's so easy. It's an easy way to help support your family. Where are you at, pastor and youth pastor? That ain't it. I will say this. The ministry would be the easiest job in the world if it wasn't for people. But you got to work with people, and there it goes.
But you've never experienced what it's like. You've never experienced anything. When I was in high school, I played basketball. I played sports. I was on the team that was really good. We went to playoffs, and we made it far in playoffs, and we had all of these exciting opportunities. One time when I was in high school, I got the opportunity to play in the old Dallas Mavericks Stadium, in the old Reunion Arena. And I walked out on that court, and again, my overactive imagination, I've been obsessed with basketball since I was 9 years old. I walk out of that court in high school, and I realize Michael Jordan's been here. Larry Bird, y'all don't know who any of these people are, just relax. Larry Bird's been here. Magic Johnson. I'm just sitting there. I'm standing on this court. Everybody's doing in the warm-up drills, and I'm just standing on the court kind of going, played the best game I've ever played in my life that night. I've experienced some really cool things. But there's nothing in life that is more exhilarating. There is nothing in life that will change you. There is nothing in life that will amaze you. There is nothing in life that will excite you. Every single one of you young people, every single one of you adults that's here, there is nothing that is to be offered in this physical life that can be compared to the power of God taking hold of this worthless flesh and doing things that can only be explained by His miraculous power.
Amen. Right.
There's nothing in life that can compare to that.
Good preaching.
Nothing. I love guns. And I love things that make a lot of noise. I love shooting things and watching them go. The things that don't go. I like cooking them up and putting them on my plate and eating them, amen.
Man.
I've gotten to shoot a few automatic weapons. I've gotten to shoot a few machine guns of different kinds. And if you think shooting a gun is fun, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty fun when you can just look at a target and you don't hit any of it, because it's not like it is in the movies. It's not that accurate. But you can just get that thing and hold it down and... Oh, that was cool. The target's still standing because, like I said, you don't hit anything. But it's cool. A perfect example. I want to share with you something. I don't know why the Lord worked this way, but He did. As soon as we got here and we came in here and I started speaking to you Tuesday night, I've been praying for all of you.
Amen.
I've been praying for every single one of you, but for some reason, the Lord singled one of you out. And I've been praying for this person all week.
Amen.
All of a sudden, Miss Michelle comes to me this morning. Comes to me and my wife. And she says, this person wants to know how to be saved.
Amen.
So, me and my wife bring this person in here earlier today.
and the Lord begins to work. The Lord begins to move. After everything was done, I made this person a little bit nervous. Can't imagine why. So I stepped out and let my wife finish. And the Lord took hold of my wife. Before we knew it, this young lady came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her
Savior.
Amen.
That young lady's name is Savannah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
She's sitting right back there.
That's right.
Amen. As soon as that was done, I tried to control myself, but I wanted to kick open that door like I was a cop coming in to arrest somebody. So I'm out there patiently, Lord, please let her be saved. Lord, please let her be saved. Lord, please let her be saved. A couple of people walk by that door and said, don't even think of her coming down here. And I kind of poked my head in, I said. And Savannah, like, you smiling at me weird? I looked at my wife and she looked back at me. And I was like, somebody say something. And my wife says, what happened? And she goes, I got saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right. That's what it's like.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Something about Savannah. I've been praying about her all week. And then all of a sudden my wife says, I've been praying about you all week. Totally stole my thunder. No, but the point is, the Lord laid her on her heart.
Amen.
Not that we don't want God to work in any of you, but you understand what I'm saying. For some reason, the Lord laid her on our heart. Then the other day, I get a text. Three of our young men came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior last night. Amen.
Amen.
And in my mind, I'm trying not to freak y'all out, but I'm just sitting there going,
yeah. Yeah! Right.
But then I find out some of you young ladies were getting saved. And then I find out some more of you young men were getting saved.
Man.
And then I find out all of these cool things about it. T-Ray, how many people did you invite to this camp?
Four.
Four.
How many people are you related to at this camp?
Two.
So that's six, right? Of those six, how many of them got saved this week?
All of them.
Man, yes.
Man, all of them.
All of them.
Hey, T-Ray. What happened to you this week? T-Ray got saved this week.
Yes, sir. Wow.
So T-Ray and everybody he invited with him got saved this week.
Amen.
Okay, I understand that y'all are Baptists and y'all are amen. That's not amen. Yeah!
Amen.
I'm just going flat out let you know. We Baptists, we get a little too prim and proper. We don't want people to think wrong of us. But if we can get excited, somebody scores a touchdown and makes a three-quarter run.
Right.
Yeah!
Come on,
somebody just got delivered out of the hands of the devil.
Amen.
Taken straight into the arms of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Delivered out of hell. Praise God for the work that He does in our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
I'm not done yet. T-Ray, who's the person that invited you to this church? Daniel. He can do something right. Let me ask you something, Daniel. I've messed with you a lot this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
What would have happened, Daniel? And I'm serious now. What would have happened if you never invited T-Ray to church?
Come on now.
Daniel, right. What happened because you were willing to invite him to church?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Look at all the souls that have been saved from the clutches of sin and the devil.
Amen.
And that's just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
That's just getting started. When we allow God's power, the power that He's promised to give us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is what that means. You receive the Holy Spirit of God. When we talk about being saved, we say that Jesus comes and lives in our hearts. And He does that in the form of the Holy Spirit.
And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is in us. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is what they call omnipotent. That means He is all-powerful.
That's right.
So the limitless power of God comes to live inside of us.
Amen.
And most of the time, we do nothing with it.
Yeah.
Heart pressure. Yes.
That's right.
But if you'll say, God, I don't know what, but whatever it is, I want that. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I love football as well. In each of these sports, there's like a certain thing that I've always wanted to do. Basketball, of course, I've always wanted to know what it was like to be coming down the lane and just jump up and just dunk on somebody. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that one's never going to happen. The thing I've always wanted to see happen in football is I wanted to be on the defensive line. If you don't know what this means, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. I want to see that quarterback hike the ball and come back and be looking over there. And I want to come from behind him and just boom, and get up and say, yeah! When I see guys do that in football, I'm just like, oh, that looks like so much fun. I have problems. We know this. But guys, that doesn't compare. Listen to me. Listen to
Reach
me.
Reach it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Yep. There's nothing that can happen in your life. Nothing that will ever compare to allowing God to get a hold of you and use you in ways that you never thought possible.
That's it. Amen.
Right.
I'm not saying that everybody in here has to be a preacher. I'm not saying that everybody in here has to be a missionary or an evangelist or whatever. But I tell you what we're losing in this world today.
Yeah.
Christians who are willing to step out of their comfortable place.
Yes.
And say, yes. God, I don't know what it is and I don't care what it is, but if you want it, whether I think I can or not, I want to see you do it in
That's
my
right.
life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Be greedy about it. Be greedy about your relationship with God.
And have you ever been picked last for a sports team or for anything? Anybody ever been picked last? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? This guy's going, this guy's going, this guy's going, and you're looking and you're saying, know where this is heading. And then there's two of you. And he's going to say, Lord, whatever you do, please don't let it be. Oh, there he goes. Okay, well. And then they're like, I love when they do that. You're the last one, so that means, you know, we know what that means. And then there's still people looking around like there's somebody else to choose. And you're going, really?
Yeah. Because you don't want to be left out. But for some reason, in all of our intelligence, Christians are perfectly fine with being left out of the miracle working power of God.
Yeah.
Adults, teenagers, anybody drawing breath that can hear me, if you want to experience something in your life that is unlike anything you've ever even heard of, look God right in the face, figuratively speaking, and say, God, use me.
Mm-hmm.
God, do something with me. God, if you want me to be a preacher, that scares me to death, but I'll be a preacher. God, if you want me to be a godly wife to some man that's serving you, I'll do that. God, you want me to be a Sunday school teacher? Lord, you want me to be an educational missionary? You want me to be a regular missionary? You want me to travel around the world and preach? You want me to stand on the street corner and sing? Whatever it is you want me to do, God. You want me to clean the toilets at the church so the pastor or the youth director or somebody that has something more important to do doesn't have to. Whatever it is, God, if you want it done, please, God, let me do it.
Good. Yes, sir.
When you let the miraculous power of God take hold of your life.
Yes, amen.
Because I'm going to let y'all in on a little secret that I haven't told you yet. I know who I am.
I know the type of person I am. I know the sin that I struggle with. And I know the sinful struggles that I have. And when I think that God in all of His majesty and greatness takes the most powerful physical thing that has ever been given to the world.
Amen.
And His holy word.
That's right.
And He says, I choose you. Not only do I choose you, but by some unimaginable way, I'm going to make you able. And He gives me His word. And He allows me to learn it. He allows me to study it. He allows me to find all of the awesome things that are in it. And then He says, hey, tell other people what I showed you.
It's good.
The Bible describes it as things too wonderful for me.
Yeah.
I'm thankful to God beyond measure for my salvation. I am thankful for so many things. I am thankful for the godly family that He's given me. I cannot express to you. And if it embarrasses Silas and Josie, in case you haven't put it together, that one's mine, and that one's mine. And that one back there is mine. And I've got a little tornado of destruction whirling around here somewhere. And she's the one who runs all of us. That one's mine too.
She's too cute to not run this year.
And I don't, it may embarrass them. But just to be clear, I don't care.
Sure.
I cannot explain to you how thankful I am for those five people that God has put in my life.
Amen. Amen.
You want to hear something cool? I'm a preacher.
Well,
that's not cool. You sweat. And if you don't think it's cool, I'm sorry that you don't understand what that means. I'm a preacher.
Amen.
I've already told you what my dad does. You know what my dad does? He's a pastor. In-laws. It can be rough sometimes. But you know what my father-in-law does? Duh. He's your pastor. Is that guy sitting right back there?
Man.
I have a brother. That brother that I've been telling you all week. Who sometimes I have thought may actually be the devil in human form. But he's not. I'll give you three guesses what my brother does.
Wow.
I have a brother-in-law.
Yeah.
I've talked to some of you, so I know that I'm going to have to fill this one in for you too. Some of you may have actually been able to catch on. I have a brother-in-law. See if you can guess what he does for a job.
Preacher.
Preacher?
He's an associate pastor of a church in Georgia.
Man.
Preacher.
Every male drawing breath in my family has been entrusted with the church of God and the people of God.
Amen.
And I know these guys. You're telling me God can't work miracles?
Amen. Amen.
Guys, I'm going to kind of draw to a close. Every time I see Joey Beckett, my heart does this. Because if he hadn't annoyed the living daylights out of me, I never would have gotten up and preached. I never would have experienced what it was like for the power of God to move through my life.
Amen. Amen.
So for the rest of my life, I should probably say for the rest of his life, because he's older, so he's probably going to go first. If you know Brother Joey Bacon, he would laugh himself sick at that. He would love that. And if he doesn't, who cares? I do. I'm just kidding, guys. For the rest of our lives, Joey Bacon's going to have a place in my life.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That I'm never going to be able to repay.
Amen.
Because the moment I got done preaching that night, I had a new dream.
Good.
And you know what my dream was to get to do in my life? God let me be a pastor.
Amen.
And you know something that I didn't even realize until right now? I wasn't thinking about this at all. I wasn't thinking about this at all. I promise you guys. When I was going to share this testimony with you, I wasn't even thinking about it. Hey, but guess what? What's the theme for our camp this week?
Living the dream.
Yeah. Let your dream be for God's power to move in your life.
Yes.
And your dream will come true. If you will simply say, here am I, God, send me.
That's right.
You'll never know what it's like. Let me ask you this, guys. How many of you think that God picked me because I'm so smart? Amen, Savannah. I appreciate it. Your sister. Amen. Savannah's with me. I appreciate you, darling. But it wasn't. My wife went to college for 4 years. I went to college for a lot longer, and it's not because I was trying to further my education. I was still trying to finish what I started in the first place. Never mind how that went. It wasn't because I was so smart. In spite of all of my hang-ups, God says, here, I want you to be here.
Amen.
I want you to do this.
Hey.
Is it always the greatest thing ever? Not even close. I'm not going to lie. There are times as a pastor where I sit down or I fall on my knees and I look up to God and say, what in the world did you do to me? Did you know these kind of people were going to be involved in this? Can I at least hit them in the head with a hammer or something to get them to understand what I'm saying? Then I do something that's really far more stupid. And my heart breaks. And I say, God, how can you use somebody as sinful as I am?
Yeah.
But God says, because if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to wash you from all unrighteousness. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then make me worthy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry.
Amen.
Amen. And I've gotten to witness God using me to lead people to the Lord. And I've got to have a front row seat to watching someone one moment lost in their sin, and if they died at that moment, they would go straight to hell. And then in the very next moment, they're a born-again child of God.
Amen.
And they're a part of my new spiritual family. And for the rest of time, I'm going to have a connection with that person.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because I was there when they met Jesus. One of the most humbling things that has ever happened to me is every now and then, before I became a pastor, and I know it's getting late. Guess what? Still don't care.
Right.
I was a youth pastor for 5.5 years before I became a pastor. And to this day, young people that have grown up, they've completed they're married, they have their own families that they've started. And all of a sudden, I'll get a call from one of them and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know how much you said this that one time, and you taught this message that one time. I want to let you know that to this day that helps me.
Amen. Yeah.
I want to let you know how much you've had an influence in my life. What do I say to that?
Yeah.
So I got a clue for you. I got a hint for you guys. I don't have anything of benefit to offer you. I thought they'd all jump up and say amen there. But God has seen fit to use me in ways that I can't imagine. You say, well, that's fine for you. You're that way. You're good at that stuff. I appreciate all the kind words that you said about me preaching here. All both of you.
That's a joke.
Appreciate your kind words. The Lord didn't give me the greatest joke-telling ability, so I get it. But you think that's because I'm so talented? It's because the Holy Spirit of God said these people will be there, and this is what they need. Just tell them this. I want to tell you something. I had all of these messages outlined and everything laid out and ready to go before I even got here. And after Tuesday night when I preached, every single one of them has changed since I've been here. Every single one of them. Praise God.
Amen.
Because he says they don't need that.
Yeah.
They need this.
Yes, sir.
In spite of who I am. And guys, I'm going to give you the secret ingredient. This is all it takes to get started. Whatever God can do, he can do in you. And this is all it takes. God, I'll do it.
Amen. That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
God, I'm willing. Just to make something clear. Counselors, adults, folks that have helped, adults that are here. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how uneducated you are. If God was done with you, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
And God can do miracles in your life as long as you're willing to say, God, I'll do it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know how, but I'll try.
Amen.
Amen.
Every single time God chose out a specific person to use for his miracles, that person had a tremendous flaw. Mm-hmm. One of the most famous characters in all the Bible. God sent him to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh for God. His name was Moses.
Yeah.
You know what Moses' problem was? I'm slow of tongue.
Yeah.
Not me, Lord.
What did he get?
Chose people like David to kill Goliath. Guys, all you got to do is be willing.
Amen.
So the question is this. Are you willing?
Yes.
That's it.
Are you going to say, God? You say, oh, yeah, this is exciting. Oh, man, this was great. But I'm just a kid. How old was Joseph when we started?
17
years old. You want to know how old David was when he killed a 10-foot giant? Don't know exactly, but the Bible says he was still ruddy of his youth. He was even younger than that. Don't know how old he was, but there was a little kid who was in a crowd with his lunch. He had 5 tiny loaves of bread and 2 fish. But he said, God, if this will help, here it is. And God took the tiny meal and fed more than 5,000 people with it.
Yeah.
With leftovers.
Amen.
Amen.
You tell me what God can do, and then you tell me what God can do through you, I dare you.
Yeah.
Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Give your all, give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch how the power of God can do miracles in you. Stay. I almost never do this, but I asked Brother Earl if we could sing a specific song tonight, and it is the key to you getting to experience this very same thing. It's a song we sing all the time, but we almost never mean. It says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I do my best to never tell anybody what God's will is for their life. And I don't know in what way God's going to use you, but I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, with no hesitation, without having to think about it, I can tell you for sure that I do know that God's will for your life is for you to let go, adults too,
yes,
for you to let go and surrender everything to the mighty power of God.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm going to pray and we're going to sing. Some of you right now, I don't know why the Lord is laying this on my heart right now, but some of you right now, it's almost like you're gripping the back of that chair saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Remember Nebuchadnezzar. Let God have His way with your life.
Amen.
Amen. It'll be the greatest thing that you've ever done.
Well,
dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. God, I thank You for choosing me. I thank You for what You've done in my life. I thank You for the things that I've seen that can only be explained by the wonderful, mighty, loving, powerful God that You are. God, I praise Your holy name for the souls that You've saved. And I pray, God, that You absolutely overwhelm every single person in this room. Lord, don't let them be able to resist You tonight. Your will be done, God, and I pray that You would change us all for Your glory and fill us with Your power. It's in Your most precious and holy name that I pray. Amen.
Number 308. Did you get those? Number 308.
Thank you.
I mean it, brother. When you say it, because there's going to come times where you're going to doubt everything.
Amen.
You're going to doubt everything, and you're going to say this is not for me, Lord. You got the wrong person. You picked the wrong person for this. But God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
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 See, we might doubt ourselves. We might, but the thing that keeps us going is that we made that commitment.
Yep.
We said, God, I'll do this, whatever you want.
Amen.
And then He opens the doors for you, and then you're like, well, I don't know. Now I don't know.
Amen.
Right? But if God has you where He wants you, then just trust in Him, because there's going to come days.
Yes.
I'm speaking from experience. There's going to come days.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And you're going to say, this is not for me.
Yep.
But God's going to say, this is for you. This is where I have you.
Amen.
So just trust in Him. If you give your life to God, be serious. Remember when you did it, and remember where you did it. I remember where I was at. I was at an altar, on the floor in prayer, and I said, God, whatever you want, wherever you want to send me, whatever you want. And every time I want to even think about quitting, because it's the easiest thing to do.
Right.
Yes.
I said, no, that day I remember. I remember when I was on my face, and with all of my heart I said, I'm whatever you want, wherever you want. I remember. And it doesn't go away. Because I meant what I said.
Amen.
And if you do that, God will see you through all of it.
Yes, Amen. He will.
That's right.
Remember, it's not you, it's God.
That's right.
Amen.
It's the power, like He said, the power of God.
Amen.
And it's real and it's true.
That's right.
But that's your decision and that's up to you. But give your life to God. Just want to thank you, Pastor Joel. And I also want to give my pastor thanks.
Amen.
You know, he is the one that gave me an opportunity. I still don't know why. But he is the one that asked me one day, Daniel, would you like to be youth pastor at Metropolitan Baptist Church? And first I thought it would be easy. What was I wrong?
Yes, sir.
What was I wrong?
Yes, sir.
And I'm not talking about the physical labor.
No.
I'm talking about the studying.
Yes, sir.
And preparing things, and that is hard.
Yes, sir.
Sitting in front of that computer and doing all that stuff on it, you know.
Yes, sir.
But it's hard. I respect men. I have a greater respect for men that sit behind that computer. I really do.
Yep.
It's a whole other place. You know, but I'm so thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for everybody here today.
Amen.
All those that just been working hard behind the scenes. You know, we just don't, even our pastor, he just kind of just been out of the way. You know, but... You guys don't know how thankful I am for every single one of you. You work so hard. And just, you're always there for us. No matter what, you guys are there.
Yeah.
You know who you are. Yeah. Always there, no matter what. And I'm so thankful for all of you.
Hey.
I really, truly am. And I'm thankful for my wife.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
She doesn't get no credit.
That's right.
Man.
Amen.
She does so much. And I'm thankful for my baby over there.
Yeah. He's such a cute
little guy. Look at him.
That's baby boom over there. And I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for this church since the day we got to this church.
Amen.
6 years ago, the day that we got here, they nothing but love for us.
Yeah.
Nothing but love. This was the first place that I ever became a trustee. First place I ever became a deacon, and now I'm a youth pastor.
Yes.
And a deacon and a trustee. Here. I love this church.
Amen. Amen.
Enjoy it. I really do. I love my church. And I love my people. And I don't care. Most of you are white.
Amen. Jeez.
This is my church.
Amen.
so much, Metropolitan Baptist Church. We're going to continue to move forward.
Amen.
We're going to continue to see God do great things.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Because God is good.
Amen.
Mighty.
Amen.
Tell you.
Amen,
brother. But I'm going to preach tomorrow.